This week is Parshas Vayera, and I'm going to do a bunch of stuff outside and a bunch of stuff inside. Anything which I decide I'm going to do outside, is I put in italics for you, so you can tell where that is. It's good stuff, but you know my key phrase. I don't like to get bogged down. Okay, so here we go. Vayera Ilav. So the opening question, which the Orach Chaim is going to ask, is on the opening phrase. Vayera Ilav Hashem. We actually saw something like this. Oh, you know, and I don't remember when it was. It was either last week or the week before. Oh, maybe it was, you know, maybe it was on Bereshis. I don't remember. But the question that he's going to ask is on that opening line. Vayera Ilav Hashem. That Hashem appears to him. Now, if we were writing this in modern Hebrew, how would you say that? No, you would probably say Vahashem Nira Elav. Okay? In other words, you're going to talk about the subject, right? Hashem appeared to him. So he does something similar, but he uses biblical terminology. So in other words, instead of saying Vayera Elav Hashem, he asks, and you can see it in the second line, says it should say Vayera Hashem Elav, that Hashem appeared to him. So why is Abraham, who's not the subject of the sentence? Abram is the object? Whatever. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the recipient of this appearance. But the one who's appearing is God. So God should be mentioned first. Okay, that's the first question in the first paragraph. This is a nevuah, God's appearing to Abraham, so what was told to him? Vinira, so now I'm on the third paragraph. Vinira, okay, ki kavanas akasav hu shabalo hodiya. Says that what's happening to Avram here is a complete change of I don't want to say personality, but of an essence. Okay, that what happens now is that Avram is becoming a merkava l'shchina. Okay, right. He's a conduit really for the shchina's presence. V'timtza sh'am ruzal. Bereshis is quoting the Bereshis Rabbah, Sha'avos Birkava L'Shchinez. What does this mean? Hu Amro, Vayera Elav Hashem, Shegila Hashem Shchinaso Elav, L'Zeikdim Tevas Elav, L'Hazgaras Hashem Lamar, Shenizgales Elav Hashchina. Okay, that it's not just that God is appearing to him as a vision, it's that he is becoming a recipient of the divine presence in a way that never happened before. Why? What has changed? Okay, Avram had a bris milah. And you don't hear that when it says Vayera Hashem Elav, that Hashem appeared to him. So it's not that Hashem appeared to him. It's that Vayera Elav, that what happened to him is God. Okay? So you have to understand. Now the last line, I think I put it in bold for you. You never have God appearing to Avram anymore. It's only just Vayomer Hashem. And you had earlier Hashem appearing to Avram in Parshas Lech Lecha. If you look at the very second line, the first paragraph, Vayera Hashem el Avram, Vayomer, was that right? So that Hashem did appear to him that way before, Vayera Hashem el Avram, which was the way that Orach Chaim is arguing it should appear. The fact is that now Avram becomes a kind of conduit. All that needs to happen now is God talks to him. Now, it's never assumed that Abraham becomes a prophet on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is panim el panim. So that's something which I struggle with. I don't really understand what that means, because every time God appears to the Avos, I shouldn't say every time, because sometimes it's clear that they're sleeping. Like just as an example, Avram is told to take Yitzchak to a mountain, and then the next thing we hear is Vayeshkem Avram baboker, which means that he was sleeping. Okay, and that's the way he gets nevuah. But obviously the idea of God appearing to him and then him hearing doesn't need to happen anymore because of this new reality of Avram's relationship with God. Okay, another explanation that he says this is a Kabbalistic idea. So Kiachar Shemal Avram Aznigle Bibsaro Yud Rishimo Kadesha. That is, now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't really understand what that meant. The Yud is considered to be what the mark of Mila looks like. Okay, it looks like a Yud. Go figure. So he has the Rishima Kedusha. In other words, he has the holy sign on him. V'hu amar v'yira elav Hashem Umamar Azohar, in other words, that there's God is now actually in Avram, in Avram's flesh. Okay, we'll leave that for what it is. Odir Tzeki Bebtos Amila Nira Hashem Elov B'Shleimus Klolos Or Elyon. It's another Kabbalistic idea of the Or Elyon, but basically that Avram achieves a kind of completion that he couldn't achieve before on account of the fact that he has the Mila. And that's what he says in the next line. Okay, you see where I put that in bold. He gets a different level of nevuah, prophecy, which he did not get before. It tells us that that this Hashem concept becomes such a much bigger idea in Avram's existence. He should describe in the mark. He called b'chinas havaya. Okay, in other words, that his relationship with God just becomes exponentially on a higher level on account of the way that God becomes, like, you know, I don't want to say becomes one with him, but he becomes this channel through which God's presence is forever felt. So that's the distinction which is demonstrated just from the fact that it says Vayera Elav Hashem as opposed to Vayera Hashem Elav, and the Aruch Haim clearly goes with it, I would imagine, in a way much far beyond however Rashi does that. Okay, so that's number one. Now, the next paragraph I'm not going to go into, but he does open the idea of indicating to us that that the concept of Mila being the most difficult on day two or day three is not correct. On day three is not correct. It's really day one, which is the most difficult, and day two as well. But more than that, if you take a look, go back to the pasuk. Vayisa eina vayar, vihine shlosha anashim nitzavim alav vayar vayaratz lekrasam. Okay, so this is the part which I gave you in italics, and my notes say do this outside. Okay, so why do I want to do this outside? He talks about how this vision. You have to remember what we just saw in Pasuk Aleph is that Vayera Elav Hashem changes who Avram is. Avram has a different kind of awareness, a different kind of channel through which God's presence is known. So the fact that Avram Vayisa Einav Vayar, that's an important phrase, by the way. Later on, it happens twice in the Akedah. Vayisa Einav Vayar lifts his eyes and he sees. And Avram, because he has a different kind of experience now with this godliness that he has, so Avram sees, and what does he see? He says that he intuits, he understands. Vayar vihine shlosha anashim. So Avram sees shlosha anashim, but Avram knows right away who they are. Okay, and that's important because when Avraham recognizes who they are, he treats them in a way which comes from an understanding that they're shluchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However you want to understand it, that they're malachim, that they're whatever that means, but they look like anashim. But it's more than that. It's more than that. What's the job? You know, we have a classic understanding of what the jobs of these three malachim were. Right? One of them is Lerapo says Avram. One's job is to heal Avram. Okay. Another one is Levasera Sarah to tell Sarah that she's going to be having a baby, and the other one is to destroy Sodom. Okay. Now, the one who is meant to heal Avram is also has a dual job because he has to save Lot. Whatever. Okay. Fine. We'll leave that for what it is. In other words, one of these guys has a job that's not going to be taking place over here. Okay, we're going to get to that point in a few, because his job is lahafach Sodom, to turn over Sodom, but he's accompanying the one who is to heal Avram and also to go to Lot. So what happens is when Avram sees these guys, one of them's job is to heal him, right? Because Avram has this vision and he can understand that, guess what happens right away? He's healed. What's the proof?
He runs.
So I used to do a show called Parsha Drama, where I would so I hadn't read the Aruch Haim, so where I would have Avram running like ooh ooh, guys come here, don't run away, ooh ooh ooh. But he's saying no, Vayar, Avram discerned who they were and he got their mission, their message right away. So he knew what they were all about. And as far as the idea that coming to be told that he's having a child, well, he was already told that at the Bris Milah. So that obviously was not something which Avram needed to hear. Anyway, you should read it inside if you can. It's really good stuff. But it all comes from that idea that by Yirah Lav Hashem, that Avram becomes a different kind of person with a different reality, and therefore he's able to discern right away who they are and what they're doing. Okay, now we go on to Pasuk Dalet. I haven't turned the page in the Chumash. So Avram meets them and he tells them, don't pass by here. So I love this first idea that he says in Pasuk Dalet. He says, look at the second line after Bereshis Rabbah. He says, take a little water and wash your feet. You don't want to say, hey, your feet are filthy, your feet stink, take, you guys really need to take a bath, right? Instead, he's saying, take a little bit of water, do what you got to do, which is just a nachastic way of relating to guests, putting the ball in their court, how much they want to do. I'm sure he's giving them a lot of water handy and available, but he's saying, take a little bit of water. So that's just a small little message in Midos. Then the Orach Chaim, what he does over the next two paragraphs here, is he discerns a little bit from what Abraham is saying, a deeper message. Okay, take a little bit of water. He's trying to give a little bit of a little hashpa, a little bit of an influence on them. So again, that's a Kabbalistic idea which I don't understand. But Abraham is, first of all, introducing them to Torah through Mayim, through water. Next paragraph. That they should rest under the tree, because that the tree is also Torah. And take a look at the next line. That they should take bread, which is an indicator and a hint of the inner, more secrets of the Torah. And not only that, why does he say pas lechem? He could just say pas means bread. Why does he say lechem? So the third line, sheyesh b'chinaso lechem, shehem gimel havayos. Okay, so I have to figure out what that means. Lechem is the gematria 78. And what's 78? 26 times 3. Because havaya, it's the name of God, which is gematria 26. So he says that lechem is an indicator of God 3 times. Shem achinas chius ha'olamos. Or chayos olamos. Okay, again, Kabbalistic ideas, which I told you at the outset, when he gets heavy into Kabbalah, and I don't understand what he's talking about, I'm not going to try to explain it, because I'm not going to presume that I'm a big maven in this stuff. I'm not. But again, he's just giving us over that Avram's message to these anashim / malachim is a little deeper than what meets the eye. Okay. Well, lechem is 78. 26 times 3 is 78. 26 times 2 is 52, and 26 more is 78. So there you go. You don't have to check math. Okay. So they come, and Avram gives them the whole meal, etc. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, lama zetzach akasar. So remember, one of the pieces of information that they give is that Sarah is going to be having a child. Okay, now, when Avram was told that in last week's Parsha, the Bris Milah, what was Avram's response?
Happy.
Anyone remember? It's tzachak. Now, what does tzachak mean? So we typically say that it means that he left. Okay, but that was Avram's response. Yeah. So Sarah's response as well. Sarah Shamas, what happens? So it's right at the beginning of Pasuk Yibes. Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirba le'mor acharei velosi ha'isad li'adna v'adoni zakein. Okay, so she says acharei velosi, which presumably means that after I am, their translation is, after I have withered. Basically, she doesn't menstruate. Now, whether she ever menstruated is a different question, because she's barren. Okay? But she's saying, I'm getting older. Haisali Edna. She says, I'm going to get a new maid named Edna. That's my joke. Haisali Edna. Then all of a sudden, I'm getting my times back. In other words, I'm menstruating. Va'adoniza Kane, and my master is old. So Hashem says to Abraham, Lama zet zachaka Sarah lemor afum name leid vanizakati. Now, that's not what Sarah said. Right? Why did Sarah left saying that I should give birth and I am old? Okay? So Rashi talks about how you can stretch the truth a little bit to make a peace between a husband and a wife. Okay, so that's a fine message. But the Orach Chaim goes in a slightly different direction. Take a look at what he says here. First of all, Hashem says, Lama zet tzachak Sarah. All you have to say is, Lama tzachak Sarah. End of story. And he says, not only that, gam kol hakasam yutar, shelo yelamar, elo lamatzachaga. Right? I mean, we know she's the only lady around, so all you've got to say is to Avraham is, why, what's with the laughing? Okay? And he says, but not only that, the you can also ask, why is there a hakpada, being a little upset at Sarah for laughing, when the fact of the matter is that Avraham left in last week's parsha when he was told as well. Okay, so go to the third paragraph of Pasuk Gimel, which is on the bottom on page 2. Achena nachonu ki Kadosh Baruch Hu deik b'dvarav tamak v'nasal Sarah v'lo al Avraham. So he was very, God was actually pretty smart when he did this. We need the Aruch Haim to tell us that God is smart. So he says that what God does here is he's very precise. Timsaki Avraham be'esav b'surat tzachak, masha ein kein Sarah. Okay, when Avraham was told you can have a child, he laughed, which is not the case of Sarah. Lo tzachaka be'eshet is basra, ela be'eshet rasa edna. Okay, that in other words, take a look back on the pasuk. Okay, pasuk yud. The guy says, the malach, the anashi, whatever it says, shov ashuv elecha ka'es chaya v'hinei bein l'sarah ishtecha. Okay, v'sarah shemas pesach obu acharav. What should have happened is that at that point in time, Sarah should laugh. Okay?
When the foretelling.
Right, at that point. She's told, she hears it, sarah shemas, v'titzchak Sarah. That's what it should be. What happens in between? The pasuk tells us, Avraham v'sarah zekeinim ba'im bayamim. It's a little late, you know, Chadal Yos L'Sarah, Rachan Hashem, she doesn't have us anymore. And so, V'titzchak Sarah, B'kirbo Le'imor, Acharevo L'Siyah, Yisali Adah. Basically, immediately what happened was, she had her period. That's what the Aruch Haim seems to be suggesting. That she realizes right away that that her biological clock has been reversed. So, and that's when she started laughing. Acharevo L'Siyah, Yisali Adah, Harezen Magid, Ki Lo Nisameis Etzlav Tachas Aleida, Ad Sheruasa Ashinui V'Alzeik Pirashem. Okay, that she should have laughed the way Avram laughed as soon as she hears the news. Are you a ma'amina? Do you believe in what God tells you? You believe in this message? But the fact of the matter is, it only indicates that she laughed after, as her response shows. I'm sorry, not that. Whoa, what's happened to me? I said, liadna, boom. So I'm getting my period back, but... But Vadoniza came, but Avram is an old guy. Okay? V'umro, lama zet tzachaka, perush, al tzchok zeh ani makpid, v'lo al tzchok shalcha. Why is she laughing only after she gets her period, but not when she gets the news? Netam ki tzchok zeh kavanasa, lomar, ha'af umnam, shenis ames etzlachar maise, shetele, v'zeh agid ki lo emina, v'lo samchadat alav tachasi, alav takliosa. Okay, so her response, God is basically saying, was not from the news. She didn't accept the news. It was only because she saw it was happening to her body, and she realized, okay, this can happen. And then he mentions the idea of God changing things on, you know, for shalom, which is based on the Gemara, which gives that explanation. And then he goes back to that same idea. Skip to the fourth line, v'diei klamar, the end of the line. She did not believe before her body changed. Basically saying that her response was after the fact where she saw that she could do it. So she's saying that Adoni Zakein, saying that my master is old, is not a knock on Avraham. It's saying, wow, look at all the miracles which are happening. First, my body's changing. And therefore, I realize it can happen, and it's going to happen. V'adoniza kein, and despite the fact that my master, meaning that Avram is old, despite that fact, clearly this is going to happen because the promise is true. So that's actually kind of nice, and that also explains why God's not so much changing, but He's saying, "Afum namei leid v'aniza kanti." I'm going to give birth, and I'm old. That she's accepting. She's accepting that this can happen, but again, the problematic aspect of her laughing a little too late. She should have laughed earlier. She's only laughing after the miracle change in her body. Okay, so that's a different perspective than what we typically imagine based on the way that Rashi looks at it, which is a lot more critical of Sarah. This is a little critical of Sarah, but not as bad as the other way. Okay, so that's all that we're gonna do in this story. Then they leave. Okay, so now this is fascinating to me. Okay, look at Pasuk Yudzayin. Okay, Pasuk Tazayin. So the men, okay, / malachim, they go. What a fascinating word. I really, they gaze down towards Sodom. Later on, Avram's going to vayashkif. So Avram goes with them to accompany them, which is also a message in Achanas Azorchim, that you accompany your guests when they leave. Vashem amar, hamachasanim Avram asher ni Yosef. Hashem says, can I hide from Avram what I'm going to be doing? So, why is God asking such a question? Is essentially the question that Aruch Chaim asks. Okay, so why would Avram be asking? How could God? Because he sees what's happening is that one God. Actually, take a look at the way he says it. Okay, Lioski ra Avram malach hagimel kiba al davar liolam belona dala davar. Like the third guy came. And he never said anything. One of them came to heal Avram. One of them came to tell Sarah about the baby. Okay, so basically, one of them was quiet the whole time. And then when they leave, one of them disappears. He doesn't go with the other two. The other two go, because remember, the two are going to Sodom. One's to save Lot, and one is to turn over the city. But the third Malach is gone. So Avram is looking and says, wait a second. Third one didn't say anything. Now he's going when another one's leaving. So you must have a mission that I don't know about. So God's saying, Hamechasanim, can I hide from Avram what I'm doing? Avram knows something's up. Okay, so that's the first point. Okay? Second point is, Od Yirtzeh Omro, and this is just a basic decency. I we don't have to read it inside. But he says, look, Avram was a Nogeya B'davar. Avram has skin in the game. Because Avram risked his life to save the people of Sodom. So God says, here I am, I'm going to destroy the people that Avram had saved. That's not very nice. How could I not let him know about what's going on there? But why is this important? Okay, actually, so we are going to read this. No, hold on, not there, not that
one. Where does the second answer start?
The second answer is no. Okay, I'm going to show you. So that's Od Yirtzeh Omro Hamechaseh. Okay, Od.
That's the second paragraph. Class.
That's the second paragraph. I'm on the wrong page. Yeah, I know that. Okay, good. So now I want to look at the next one inside. Okay, that's Pasuk Chav. So look at the Pasuk Chav for a second. Vayomer Hashem. So Hashem says to him, I'm on page 82 in the Chumash. Vayomer Hashem. Zakas Dom Amora Ki Raba Vechat Asam Ki Chav Dam Eod. Okay, so the cry from Sodom and Amora has become very large, and the sins have also become heavy. So why is God not? I mean, he says I can't hide it from Avram, but why is he unhesitating about it? Take a look. Od niskaven Hashem lafig tzinas dagaso ki omar shenishtadela tzulum rusha kol kach lze amar love ki rabba ki chavda. He says I would want to save this, right? Remember, look at the story of Yonah. When Yonah gets all upset, God says, "You know how many people are in the city of Nineveh? Well, I don't remember what the number is. Okay, some rebo. Some very large number. Says, you think I don't want to save my people? Sodom has a lot of people there, but the problem is ki rabba ki chavda, that the cry has become extremely great, extremely heavy. Perish mechadash." Haya Haresha Sha'alav Mischayvim. This is a new level of rishus. Okay, in other words, when Lot moved down to Sodom, remember what it said? Anshei Sodom Ra'im Echatayin Lashem Od. We already knew the people of Sodom were bad. Obviously, God didn't destroy it when Lot moved down there. Not only that, Avraham went and saved the people. So what has happened since then is a new level, and that's why God is saying, like, this is it's beyond anything. They weren't as bad when you saved them, but now it's just terrible. Now it's just terrible.
When he says you saved him, he was referring to the war with the four kings.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I didn't stop you from fighting them because they were worthy of being saved, even though they were bad. But now, there's nothing you can do. Okay? So they have the conversation, right? 10, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. That's the last. So take a look. Go to page 84. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayomer al na. So this is Avram giving his last ditch effort. Vayomer al na yichal adonai v'adavarach hapam ulayim matzum shemasara. I don't get upset. Maybe there are ten people worthy of being saved. Vayomer Hashem says lo ashkis b'avur asara. I'm not going to destroy based on the ten. So a question that I've always asked, but I'm grateful to the Or HaChaim because now I have an answer. So how come Avram doesn't go any lower?
No.
Why doesn't Avram go any lower? Take a look at the next words. Vayelech Hashem kasher kibo. God says, I won't destroy for 10. Conversation's over.
Oh, you couldn't say
okay? Exactly. Conversation's over. Okay, so take a look at the way that he puts it. Did I give it to you?
Yes, it's a page in the bottom.
Yeah, Od Niskavin Hashem Lefin. Oh, I already did that for it. Oh no, I'm sorry. Lamed Beis. What am I doing? I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Lamed
Gimel. Okay. Perish Samach LeGemar Divrei Tshuva Soli Avram Lo Ashkenaz Bavur Asara Alach Hashem Blonas Anam Mokam Lispal Apachos Mishirze. God did not give him the opportunity. Shekvar Amar Avram VaDabara Achapam VeLo Yosif Berod BeDavar Azeh. So Avram really basically said, "This is my last request." Otsad Chiyodei Hashem Kiloti Agana BePachos Mishirze. Or because he kind of knew, or Hashem knows that he's not going to protect this city for less than 10. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so again, he's quoting the Zohar, Sh'amar v'tzadik yisod olam, Efshar sh'zeh yihyek, sh'yeh tzadik ufla, v'efshar sh'imo ya'avram, v'kirbar sh'zdom ha'yim emalei kol ha'ir. So it could be if Avram were in the city, then maybe things would have been different. The fact of the matter is, Avram was not. But the point is that v'yelech Hashem, he doesn't give Avram a chance to make the argument, because like it was done. It was done. He gave Avram the chance to argue, to defend Sodom as much as possible, but that was really all it was. Okay, now they get to Sodom, and so now we're going to see a little bit about Lot, a few insights into Lot in the beginning of Perek Yutess. Okay, I really gave you the best stuff, so don't waste your time with the other stuff here. Okay, Vayavosh Nebuchadnezzar. Now we're in the Chumash, page 84, Perek Yutess Shlishi. So the two of them that are left, they come to Sodom Bo'erev in the evening. V'lot Yoshev B'shar Sodom, and Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom. Wouldn't you know? Okay, Vayar Lot. Lot sees. Vayar Lot. Okay, Avram, remember how Avram saw them from a distance. Lot saw them from a distance. Vayakam L'Krasami goes out to them. Vayishtachu Apayim Arza. Now he doesn't run like Avram ran, but he does go out to them and he bows. Vayomer, and he says, Hineina Adonai, Suruna Obeis Abdechem. Come to the house of your servant, Velinu. You're going to rest, maybe even sleep, right, Linu? Verachatzur Glechem, you're going to wash your feet, Vishkamtem, Alachtem, and you'll get up early, and you'll go on your way. Vayomaru. Now, why didn't Avram offer that, by the way?
To sleep over.
No, to sleep over, yeah. Because it was the middle of the day. Avram doesn't offer him to sleep over, because it's the middle of the day, and he knows they're on their journey. It's a total waste from their journey to stop and to stay for the night. So Lot, it's nighttime. So Lot says, "You're gonna stay with me, and then you'll get up in the morning." Vayomru, and they say, "Lo, no, kivar chav nolin. We're gonna sleep in the street." Vayivtzav Rami Oats. He pushes them. Vayasuru elav, and they do go to him. Vayavol el beisel. Vayas la mishtei makes him a meal. Umatzos safa vayochelu, and he bakes matzahs, and they eat. Terem yishkavu, before they actually go to sleep. Okay, so we're not going to get into the people of Sodom; they're awful. We already know that, but you get an idea of what is of what's going on, at least insofar as the scene goes. Now, I didn't give you this, but one thing which the Or HaChaim does say is that Lot makes a mishta matzos afava yechelu. He also makes matzah and they eat, but he claims they only ate the matzah. Why? So we can talk about malachim eating whatever, but they didn't know because Lot, you know. Lot's a shtickle idolater. He's off in Sodom. You know, he's not exactly. He learned midos from Avram, but his cooking is like, you know, it's kashrus, exactly. But the bread, we'll eat bread. Like paspalter, you know. Right, exactly. Okay. So let's take a look.
We had that last week, remember, with Harry Mossi and Shedlai?
Yeah.
He wouldn't eat from
Sodom. Not eating from Sodom. Okay, so that's it. You don't eat the cooking from Sodom. That's a lesson to win. Okay, Vayavo Be'erev. So we're on the top of page 4. Tama davar l'mtzachana l'lod l'achnisam l'zakos batzal asol. That why do they come here? To give Lot a possibility to get merits for him to be saved. Agam shamru ki b'zchus Avram mitzol. So the Midrash says that he was saved in Avram's merit. Aval tzarech l'mtzol lo z'chus kol shu. But nevertheless, he still needs to get, you know, he's got to have his own points. And they couldn't come in the daytime, because if they come in the daytime, people can actually see them, then they might not even let them come in. So Lot would not have a chance. So here at least it's a chance, because Lot can at least try to host them in this fashion. Well, it doesn't say Vayar. Why does it say Vayar in brackets? I don't know. He doesn't run to them. Vayar Lot Vayakob. I don't know. Perishikir Behem Kihema Meha Mochrimet Lot. The Mishar Seel Yom. So in other words, Lot had a little bit of Avram vision. So he was able to see that these guys were coming. So you see that there's a Vayar, which is parallel to the way that Avram saw them. So he was really putting his life on the line and going out to greet them, because Sodom was famous for not doing that. So he offered them to wash their feet. So he got the same custom from Avram to offer them to wash their feet. So now the Aruch Chaim is saying, look, you know, there's a little bit of a difference between Avram and Lot. That Lot says you guys can sleep and then you wash your feet. Why? Because he didn't care so much about the Avodah Zarah on their feet. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to make a big deal about that. He says you'll get up early in the morning. That Lot, in telling them that they have to get up early to leave, he wasn't kicking them out of the house. He's trying to
protect
them. Okay, so that's also a merit to Lot. Keter mishkavu, v'lo amar achar ochlam. Hold on a second. Yeah. Okay. Magid shayad dvarim b'nehem b'emtza. So it was before they fell asleep. In other words, they had been chatting with Lot. That Lot was trying to defend Sodom. He said, no, the people here, whatever it is. Right, there were people in Sodom who were in, you know, there was a suffix whether they should be saved. The doubt. God said, I'm going to go down, I'm going to check it out. Right? Lot was making arguments. However, what happened after that? Tarim Mishkavu, on Chase Adom, they come and they start banging on the door, and they say all the terrible things that they have. And guess what that does? Seal their fate. Okay, so Lot tried, and in the morning, skip to the third to last line. Otam Shalosh Shnisus Dom Yosef Shosh Emtinu Adash Kamas Boker. Why did they wait until the morning? Kadeshi Yezemanam Yuchad Rachamim Latzilas Lot. So it's a time which is primed for mercy to be the time when Lot is going to be saved. Asha Ein Kain Balayla, which is not the case for the nighttime. Shetigboras Adinim Lo Yimalek Lot. Right, Lot would not be saved if judgment is heavy. Rachamim needs to be heavy, and then Lot has a chance to get out. Okay. So that's just some nice things about Lot, more or less, I think. And so that's what we had there. Okay.
Maybe it says Vayakam in parentheses to show that he emulated Avram.
Probably.
That's not said.
Probably. Right? Probably. Yeah. He's copying Avram in one form or another. I would certainly not have to argue that. He doesn't really say anything about the deal with Lot's daughters, which is a little bizarre. That he doesn't talk about. I mean, he talks a little bit, but. No, actually, hold on a second. No, he doesn't. He doesn't really. There's nothing on it, which is fascinating. Okay, all right. We move on to Parakhaf. Parakhaf has in it the episode where they get to Gerar, they get to the city of Gerar, and Abraham and Sarah they give this shtick where they talk about being a brother and sister. Pasuk Vav. Okay, and Avimelech is immediately approached by God, because he takes Sarah into his home, but he does not have the chance to do anything to her, because God appears to him in a dream, and in whatever manner. And again, that's also troubling. Like, what does it mean? Because God at the end is going to tell Avimelech, tell Abraham to pray for you because he's a Navi. What's Avimelech in this story?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Anyway, okay, Avimelech was basically saying, you know, what are you going to do to me? He said, Abraham said that she's his sister, and she also said that he's my brother, so I was totally innocent here. He said, yeah, you're right. You are innocent in taking her in the sense that you did not know that she's married. Okay, but don't think that you have clean hands. Okay, since the fact of the matter is, you can say that you and Monica were consensual. Fact of the matter is, you are the president. Okay, that's basically
that is right. That's what he says.
Begam she'en exela she'ischayvelam kol zani kayon kapayim meino. Don't think that you are innocent, buddy. You're not innocent. Okay, that's why. Because when I read that, I said, "Ooh, that sounds very familiar." Okay. Now, pasuk yedeis, Avram explains when Avimelech says, "Hey, what's going on here?" Mara isak yasisa zo esadavar zeh. Avram says in Yud Aleph. He says, I saw that this place, there's no fear of God here. And they're going to kill me, my wife. By the way, she's my sister through my father, but not through my mother. But she's my wife. Okay? Avram, on the bottom page 4. Chiev Avram, Avimelech, So he's accepting, he says, what'd you do to us? He says, what's the problem? What I saw here is that there isn't Yiras Elohim here. Okay, she could be my sister and also my wife. You guys never asked. You said, who is she? She's my sister. Is she also your wife? You never asked that. So I don't have to tell you that. Why? Why is that permissible? Because they are B'nai
Noach.
Noachites have different sets of rules. So she could be, and besides, Achosi doesn't necessarily mean my actual sister. So even if you say that a brother can't marry a sister, I mean, Lot, he keeps on calling Lot his Ach. He's a nephew. So Ach, just because she's an Achos doesn't mean that she's not my wife. You never asked.
She's my sister.
Right. I can call her my sister, and that doesn't mean she's not my wife. Okay, if you really are God fearing, you might actually ask the specifics. So maybe once Avram said, "Hey, there's no God fearing here," Avimelech said, "You know something? He's right." But yiten lo matanos tavos, and that's why he gave him gifts. So Avram is saying, "Oh, you're saying that I'm a liar? I didn't lie. You never asked. Okay. So that's an important distinction. And Pasuk Yud Gimel, when he said, Avram explains, we made a deal, my wife and I, that whenever we go somewhere, we're going to say that we're brother and sister. So now he's explaining how he knew that this is a place which is not God fearing. Avimelech might say, "Well, what did you see here that made you think that there's no God fearingness?" Right, any place where I have a suspicion, like where I need to pull this shtick. It's very clear that there's no God fearing, because if there were God fearing here, I can go and tell anybody she's my wife. End of discussion. Who, if there were a God fearing place, nobody would touch her, nobody would bother me, and say, "Oh, God bless you, welcome." But that is not that was not the case, and that was why I did what I did. That is why I did what I did. Okay.
Nice.
And the last one is I put in parentheses here, even though I put it in italics. He says that the fact of the matter is that it says that everybody stopped. They were no longer able to give birth. Everybody became sterile or barren during this time, and the fact that was known, that became known, proved was a proof to everybody else that Avimelech is not the father. That's the first line. Perush Shaloyim Avimelech is not Basara. Everybody knew that what happened in Gerar was that everybody became sterile or barren. And he's actually going to use this idea that they live in in Gerar for many years as a proof to another idea, which we're going to get to soon. Okay, now there's a theme which keeps on coming up. He keeps on talking about the Sitra de Nukuva. Anybody here know what the Sitra de Nukuva or the Sitra de Nukuva is? Okay, it's a Kabbalistic idea. Sitra de Nukuva. Apparently, the world in Kabbalistic terminology is in the masculine and the feminine. Okay, so one of the key points that he keeps on bringing out is that something needed to open in Sarah in order for Yitzchak to be born. And whether that came from the bracha which was given to Sarah, whether it came from the bracha that was given to Abraham, remember that before Abraham and Sarah were able to have a child, they were Abraham and Sarai. Abraham and Sarai could not have a child. Abraham and Sarah, with the change of the name, the hay in their names, and the bris milah, were able to have a child together. So there's a lot attached to this idea that, and this is why I put this in italics, because I don't want to get lost in here in figuring all this out. But there's an emphasis on how Yitzchak was born to Avraham and to Sarah, as opposed to Yishmael, who was born to Hagar and kind of to Avraham. I mean, you could just take a look, by the way, at the difference between the way Yitzchak's birth is mentioned to us. Take a look in Pasuk Gimel. Vayikra Avraham. I'm sorry, we're on page 94. Vayikra Avraham Hashem Bano Hanolad Lo Asher Yolad Lo Sarah Yitzchak. Avraham called the name of his son who was born to him, to whom Sarah had given birth to for him, Yitzchak. If you go back to the birth of Yishmael, which would be in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Perek Zayin rather. The end of Perek Zayin. Vatelet Hagar, it's page 72. Ve'avram, Vatelet Hagar li Avram Bain, Vaikra Avram Shem Beno, Asher Yolada Hagar Yishmael. So it's his son, but that's born, but it's Hagar's son. Okay, and that's an important distinction which Sarah makes when, at the time of the kicking of Yishmael out of the house. Okay, and so if you look at the Psukim, for example, Pasuk Tes, top of page 96. Vatera Sarah is ben Hagar Mitzrus Asher Yaladali Abraham Tzachek. So who is he? He's the son of Hagar. And he was born to Abraham, but who is he? He's the son of Hagar. And that's why Sarah says, next pasuk, Garei Shama Azos V'yespina. It's her son, buddy. It's her son. Hilo Yirash Beno Ama Azos Imbini Im Yitzchak. Okay? Now, why is Avram troubled? Vayera Adavar Me'od Beine Avram Alodos B'no, because it's his son, right? What does Hashem say? Next pasuk, Vayomer Elohim Al Avram Al Yera Beinech Al Hanar Ve'al Masecha Then, right. But Gamas Beno Amalagai Semenu, God says, she's right. She's right. Ishmael is Hagar's son.
Hagar's son.
Yes, I know what you think. He's your son. Okay, so fine. He will also be a great nation. But the fact of the matter is that your son is Yitzchak. And don't lose sight of that. And that's essentially what is borne out over here, no pun intended. With all this stuff. Now, do we have the time? We have the time. You know what? We have the time. I didn't realize how well we did here. So you know what? Let's read through it. Okay?
Right.
Unfortunately, the Aruch Chaim does not have a lot on the Akedah, and that's why I really didn't give you a lot on the Akedah, because he really doesn't say much. So we'll get to what he says here, and my Dvar Torah that I wrote this week is on the Akedah. I have a new Mahalach, so which I like. But anyway. So anything which is heavily in this, Sitra de Nukva, I'm not going to try to explain because all that I know about it, I gave you. So I already explained. So let's take a look. O yichav in akasiv al pimash shperashti v'pasuk le'el yiches ben l'sara ishtecha sheba mitzad ha-nikuva. Okay, it's the side of the feminine. Okay, whatever that means. L'siba zu hutzrach la'akeda. And on account of that, he needed there to be an akedah. V'yaduahu, ki zo isi bas misa Sarah. And he says, and it's known that that also explains the death of Sarah. Okay? L'fi ma shekasafti ki hikpira Hashem al tzchika Sarah v'ki emakzera shalot teli Sarah el ben misitra denukba. Okay? That God was makbid. Okay? He was very precise with Sarah's behavior. And so she died earlier. Now, did we see this last week? No, it was my shir I gave on Shabbos morning. There is a whole mahalach in the Midrash and a lot of the commentaries that Sarah was supposed to live as long as Avram lived. Okay, and there are different ways to look at it. Whether she was supposed to live, like Avram was supposed to live to be 180, so she was supposed to live to 180. That's one view. Another view is that she was supposed to die when Avram was supposed to die, which is that he lives to 180, she lives to 170. Fact of the matter is that Avram lives to 175. So again, was Sarah supposed to live to 175, or was she supposed to live to the year that he died and die at 165? Okay, no matter how you look at it, obviously she dies when she's 127. And so the viewpoint is that she lost years of her life. She lost years of her life on account of the way she treated Abraham when she says to him, Yishpot Hashem eini uvenecha, in last week's Parsha, when she says, when Hagar was, you know, looked at Sarah with that funny eye, after Hagar became pregnant, and Sarah says, Chamasi al Sarai, she's Sarai at the time, Chamasi alecha, that my chamas is on you, which is an interesting word, because it doesn't mean anger. That's a new thing that I realized this year. Chamas, it's spelled with a samach. Spelled with a samach. Chamasi alecha, my chamas is on you. What's chamas?
Vengeance.
What?
Vengeance.
So that's the way our school translates it. Well, whatever is it? No, that's not how they translate it. But chamas, come on, Noah, why does Noah? What's Hamas?
Robbery.
Yes, what she's saying is that my stature has been stolen from me, and that's on you. That's the point. The fact that you... So that's a fascinating idea, okay? That was not the Or Chaim, but I saw that, and some of the commentaries do have that approach, because they're trying to translate the word Hamas. It's not Hamasi, like Ches Mem Sof Yud. It's Hamas with a Samach. Anyway, so... But they say that Sarai lost years of her life on account of the way she treated Avram over there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, she gives birth on account of this sitra denukba. Okay. So again, I don't completely understand the concept. Aval Sarai shtechoyoletis lezamar vayas Hashem leSarah kasheriber. So Avram was told, Sarah, your wife is going to have a child, and so that's why it says in Perek Chafal at the beginning, vayas Hashem leSarah kasheriber, that Hashem did for Sarah as He had spoken. Yaduahu ki adibur kasher. Who, you know, what do you mean kasher diber? Diber is a lashon of difficulty, right? Amar is a little nicer. So what does that mean, kasher diber? Who shelo yulato shalem b'shleimus atzarich v'nisgagul advarim v'niftar asar misibazo. That there was a shleimus which was needed in Yitzchak, which was not achieved at this time. We're not talking about Mila. Okay, a shleimus which he needed to get at the Akedah. Okay, in other words, there's a flaw in this whole situation on account of Sarah's behavior towards Avram. So Sarah gives birth. Okay, so she didn't have a womb. Basically, she didn't have a womb. So her pregnancy in general was just a miracle of miracles. So Omer Abraham, Ramaz ben ze la Abraham, v'lo Yishmael Abraham, ki lo yikra Shmo ben Abraham. So we already saw this. I pointed it out in the Pesukim that he's Abraham's son, not the way that he's Yishmael. That Yishmael is his. That Yishmael is not his son in the way, the same way that Yitzchak is his son. Ki be Yitzchak yikra el Chazar. Okay. I'm at the end of the third line in base. Yeah, it says that Agar gave birth to a child to Avram. Sham nikra shmo Avram. Aval achar shenakar shem Avram. Shelo yizachir od shem zelav el Avraham. So after the name Avram is gone, and now he's Avraham, Yishmael in lo nikarei ben Avram. Yishmael is never called the son of Avraham. He's the son of Avram. Who's Avram? He's a person who hasn't gotten this Vayera elav Hashem. Okay, so in other words, Yishmael doesn't get the blessing that Avraham gets, and therefore that Yitzchak gets. Avraham Avram. Over Basit, the Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to call Avraham Avram anymore. Now, typically, when we refer to him, we do. Now, I actually try to be, I know what the Gemara says, but I try to be makbid when I'm teaching this Parsha, or when I'm learning this Parsha, to call him Avram, to distinguish between before Bris and post Bris. Okay? But regardless, when we're talking about him, like not in the context of the Parsha, then we always refer to him as Avraham. Ki kishi karelo Avram, yachesi lav Yishmael, aben. When you call him Avram, you're referring to that's when Yishmael is his son. Hashem amar ki Yitzchak yikareil chazara, but Hashem said that Yitzchak is your child. Ve'ein ze'ela kishe ye'ekar shem Avram. Yitzchak becomes, you know, the son of Avram when you don't have the name Avram anymore. V'tam ze'e enu b'Yakov l'ze'a gam shenikra Yisrael enk pedes shikra Yaakov. Yaakov's name being changed to Yisrael wasn't the name of getting rid of Yaakov. He's Yaakov and Yisrael. So that's a distinction which is made between getting a new name in Yaakov's way and in Avram's way. Right. Now, he's born Lizkunav. Tama does Gam Omro Lizkunav Loma Lizknaso. Why does it say Lizkunav and why does it not say Lizknaso? Okay, he's born doesn't it mean the same thing? He's a Ben Zakunim. I mean, how do you want to describe it? Zikna, what's the difference between Zikna and Zakuna? I don't know. Lamashika Sabri. Kiya Chaser Be'e Saleda Nefesh Me Olam Ha'elyon Leholid Velo Haisalo Elame Alma Denukla. Okay, again, that's that Kabbalistic idea that Yitzchak was only born on account of this special merit, which has to do with Zikuna and not Zikna. Ki Yalda Az Vegam Yalda Bo Achanas Leda Acheres LeZikna Sheinit Shel Avraham. Okay, so I'm not going to get lost in this because I don't completely understand it. That's why I put it in italics. So we'll leave it. But in other words, there's something deeper going on here that the Akedah was necessary for. If you look at the last two lines on the top of the page, you know, it's the last two lines of this thing. So the second line of the page. Achana le'eis zikna acheret shel Avram shuzman Akedah. Okay, that's the idea. That there was a need for the Akedah which was built into who Yitzchak was. Or Yirmaz lizkunav zikna so. Ziknas ishto. So maybe Zikunav is like a plural. So it's both of them. Okay, we'll leave it for what it is. Yitzchak is called Benoah Noladlo. Perish Lios Sheyesh Lo Ben Acher. Okay, this is to distinguish him from the other son that he has, Yishmael. Zemar Hanoladlo. The Daber Hanos Lo. Likaros Alov. Letachlis Tavaso. Mashalom Arakasu came later to Yishmael. Avram has always wanted a child. Yishmael is born, he has a child. But it doesn't fulfill the desire that Avram had. Because what was the desire that he had? Omer asher yolada lo sarah. Remez lama shayim ispal in tamid Avram ayomer. Kol azera shali yemit sadeka zo. By the way, that's the exact same language. That only the child that I have should only be from this sadekas. That's the exact same language that Chazal put into Yitzchak's tefillah. The Parsha has told us, that all the time Yitzchak's saying, I only want a child from this tzaddikus. And she's saying the exact same thing. I only want a child from him. They didn't want to throw a hugger kind of person into their relationship. Avram never wanted a hugger kind of person in his relationship. That was all Sarah's idea. Keneged tefilasa amar yolada lo. So it's based on her tefila that the pasuk says it's born to him from Sarah. And that notion that this is his child from Sarah is emphasized over and over and over and over, and over again. Okay?
That's the best one.
Okay, Pasuk Yudalid, this is crazy, and I shared it with you because there is a whole, well, you know what, I'm going to tell it to you first, and I'll tell you this whole line of thinking, that what does it mean that when Avraham sends Hagar out, the food, he puts food on her shoulder, Pasuk Yudalid, Eshkem Avraham, Yekach Lechem V'chem Asmai V'etein Al Hagar, Sam Al Shichma, okay, that he places the water canteen and the bread, and he puts it on her shoulder. And the boy, he puts. Now, how old is Yishmael?
He's 16.
He's at least 16, right? Because Yitzchak is what, two, weaning, right? Assuming the weaning. So he's two, three. So Yishmael's 14 years old than Yitzchak.
She can.
Okay, but he puts him on her shoulder. Perish gam oso some al shechmal. He also put him on her shoulder. Leo shaloya rotsa latzeis bibeis aviv. Yishmael didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave his father's house. Leze akado ki yelad al shichma v'girsha. He tied him up so that he was basically a bundle. Now, why did I share that with you? Because there are, you can go on YU Torah and you can find shiurim called Akedas Yishmael. Okay, that the whole idea of what happens here to Yishmael, some say, is a premonition to what happens to Yitzchak. And there are a lot of parallels. Like the Gush people are all over this. That they call this Akedas Yishmael, not because, I mean, the Or HaChaim actually calls it Akedas Yishmael. I mean, he talks about him being bound. It's the exact same word, right? But others talk about just Yishmael, in a sense, being sacrificed. That Yitzchak almost dies, Yishmael almost dies. Okay, he's sent out of the house. There's a whole lot which I don't want to get into, but you should know. If you want an article, I have an article about it which I can give you. It's a Hebrew article about a bunch. Okay, the Gush people are all over this. So that's where I first heard about the concept, and Rabbi Foreman has a thing about it also. Nachlitek, I mean, they're all over there. Okay, so I just wanted to call your attention, but this is the first time that I ever saw the word Akeda actually being used with reference to Yishmael. Okay? Okay. But again, the parallels are fascinating. So you have to see how these Chokrei HaTanakh of modern day, how they make that comparison. Okay, the last thing which we're going to look at is in the chapter of the Akeda. We're really only going to look at the beginning because he doesn't, you know, even the stuff which I gave you here, he doesn't really talk so much about the Akeda. I mean, he seems to kind of just basically accept that Avram was tested, and this is what it is. Okay, anyway, so let's take a look. So just two fascinating ideas that I wanted to draw out, and that's what they are. And one of them I mentioned kind of earlier, so let's take a look. The only two psukim we're going to look at. The first two psukim, page 100. Okay. After these things, I don't even like translating these words, because there's so much to be taken from them. So God, Nisa, as Avraham, whatever that means, Abraham, he says to Abraham, he calls him, he says, Abraham, and Abraham says, Hineini, I'm here, I'm ready to do your bidding. Vayomer, he says to him, Kachna, take your Esbincha, your son, Yechidcha, you're special, you're unique, Asher Havta, the one you love, as Yitzchak, Belechacha, Eretz of Moriah, and go to the land of Moriah, Vahalei, Shamli Allah. I'm not even translating that. Okay, I don't want to go into that. Okay, Vayachad, Ramel, Perishat, Varim, Hamur, Lamalme, Inyan, Shichma, here, Patki Sha'abru Alav Achinifkad Babain Laisizik Naso. Okay, so he's just setting the stage. This is all the things which have happened until the time that he has a son in his old age. Hashem promised him that you're gonna have children through Yitzchak. Yaharsha Yitzchak Gadol Kiomro. So now the Yitzchak is a Gadol. Now how old is a Gadol? What's the party line about Yitzchak? What? Right. That he's an adult. That he's an adult. Omro, Vayagar Avraham Be'eretz Plishtim Yamim Rabim. That he lived in Yitzchak many years. Well, Yamim Rabim actually means many days, but it assumes many years. Uvashana Rishana Sheyar the Plishtim Nol Yitzchak. Right? A year after the whole Avimelech episode, that's when Yitzchak is born. So it's right when they moved to Gerar that Yitzchak was born. Halamadata Ki Gadol Haya. So now we see that he's a Gadol. So, I mean, I mentioned earlier that the idea of there being in Gerar for an extended period of time kind of shows that where did Yitzchak grow up? In Gerar, right? So, anyway. Okay, so the Nisayon, which I guess would be translated to be a test, note that the Pasuk doesn't say Nisayon. The Pasuk says Nisa. What that means, big discussion. Okay, but that it's a big Nisayon. Because after the promises, me Hashem, I'm in the next line in the middle. Blow here, Relibo. Hashem tells him to bring him as a korban. Okay, now Rashi points out he never said to bring him as a korban. He said, Ha'ale, bring him up. Doesn't say kill him. Okay, anyway, but Avram doesn't hesitate. Okay, Hashem says, Abraham, and Avram says, Hineni. Bein bebchinas Yitzchak, so Yitzchak also. Shagam choya gadol. The fact that it tells us that they lived in Eretz Plishtim for many years indicates that Yitzchak is an older guy. That he was older and he did not object. So he's actually not agreeing with the way Rashi translates Yechidcha. Oh, I also have Yishmael. He's saying, no, Yechidcha. Yishmael's long gone. Yishmael is not in the picture anymore. Which, for a long time. Aye, so what do you do with the fact that people say that one of the Ne'arim who comes with Abraham is Ishmael? Okay, so he ignores that. Okay, all right. Okay, it's Bincha, so take a look. And this is the last point. Again, it doesn't really have much to do with the Akedah, but he's just showing what the challenge to Abraham is. Okay? Kan remez legimel ahavos shecheyeva Torah lechol ish Yisrael v'hava bori baruchu. That everybody has three methods of loving that a person is supposed to love God. Right? B'chol lev, v'chol nefesh, v'chol odech. Right? That's the passage from Shema. B'chol lev, ein lecha davar shechaviv b'lev adam ke'avas abanim. What does a person love more than his
children?
V'hu amro es b'lcha. So when it says b'chol levavacha, it's referencing that you love your child with all your heart. Okay? That's what it means to give to love God with all your heart. K'neged b'chol nafshecha. What does it mean to love God with all your soul? Amaras yechidcha. Kevin she'enu elahu. Hu hanefesh. K'mi she'enu banim chashuv k'meis. Okay, now, so what does it mean?
Yeah.
That when he's asking to give your only child, he's asking to love God with all your soul. Because somebody who does not have a child, chashuv k'meis. Now, what does that mean? Okay, it's not a nice thing to say, by the way. You don't say to people who are childless that it's as if you're dead. Okay, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Rachel yells at Yaakov, if I don't have a child, it means I may as well be dead. Okay, now, somebody doesn't have a child, may as well be dead. No. What else does the Gemara say is kemes? A blind person, a poor person, okay? It doesn't mean that they're as if dead. So I can go over to a poor person and shoot him? Double jeopardy?
Kemes.
Right? I can go over to a poor person and shoot him? Double jeopardy? It's as if they're dead? No. It means that they need a different kind of sympathy and empathy than you give to somebody who is in a different kind of situation. Okay? That's what it means, chashuv kemes. You have to be, right, what do we talk about? What's chesed shel emes? Chesed shel emes is the kindness of truth that you give to the dead because you don't expect anything in return. And that's the way you're supposed to treat an ani, expect nothing in return. That's how you treat a blind person, you expect nothing in return. That's the way you're supposed to treat somebody who doesn't have any children. You expect nothing in return. That's what it means, chashuv kemes. Okay? Next, uchaneged b'chol mi'odecha, and the last way that you have to love God is with your everything. What is mi'odecha? Everything. Amar asher ahavta, perish oso ahavta, yoter mikol kinyan os, right? What you love more than all of your belongings. B'chol kinyanav kinegdo, ayin, right? Everything you belong is meaningless. V'alfa pikein ha'aleyubi. This is what is more valuable than your child, and nevertheless, I'm still asking you to give him. Okay, ha'aleu. Again, whatever ha'aleu means, I really don't think it means to bring as an offering. I don't think that's what it ever means. But the point is, v'niskaven Hashem leparei kol zeh. God gives him all these details. Lo diosha gam shigesh no etzlo b'chol adragos alpi chavetz Hashem shekivei lo le'ola. Even though your child is the equivalent of all of your leiv, all of your nefesh, and all of your ma'od, I'm still asking you why? Because you love me. Right, Zera Avraham, Avraham is my beloved, and Avraham demonstrates it, and that's why this is viewed, again, if you view this as a test, as a Nisayon, which many people do, then that's how he's asking him, it's the highest level of test, because I'm asking you to give up everything. To give up everything for me, because your Ava for me is so great. So it's a very difficult, you know, the people who could study that, we could study the Akedah for years and not understand it. But on the very base level of understanding what Avram is being asked to do is to demonstrate his love because he loves his kid more than anything and he loves his God more than anything. Okay.